Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're having a good time. You're out drinking with the boys. Now it's time to pay the tab.
$11,352.47. Wait, what?
Well, there are court costs, attorney fees, higher insurance costs, damage to your car, DUI fines.
Oof.
Not to mention the damage to your social life. Plan a sober ride or pay the price. Drinking and driving costs more than your drinks. It could cost a life. Learn more at whatsthedamage.org. Brought to you by Virginia DMV.
Summer's here, the roads are packed, and accidents can happen in an instant. If you've been injured in a car accident, don't get stuck fighting the insurance companies alone. Fight back with one call to Azari Law. Call 888-828-HURT. That's 888-828-HURT. At Azari Law, we've proudly fought for the DMV community for over 15 years. I'm attorney Lauren Kalekas, born and raised right here in the DMV, and my team and I are ready to fight for you. Injured? Don't wait. Don't settle for less than you deserve. With offices in Maryland, D.C., and Virginia, Azari Law is standing by to help accident victims get the justice and compensation they deserve. This summer, protect yourself and your family by knowing who to call when life takes an unexpected turn. Call 888-828-HURT, 888-828-HURT, and let Azari Law fight for you. Follow us on social media at azari.law. That's AZARI.law.
Can't get enough of the fan in the morning?
Shown up.
Because this is nothing like that.
Working.
Al and Jerry are here with stories they'd never get to cover on the morning show.
Very sexy robot.
Hey, look at that pig.
Shenanigans.
Naked yoga.
My mother had a bad experience with these goats.
Let's hump the fence.
It's Al and Jerry's post-game podcast.
All right, here we go on the podcast on a Tuesday as we are still immersed in all this Nick crap. So we've got other stuff for you. What's up, Al?
Oh, hi there, Jerry. Well, it's this time, Jerry, when I ask, how much should my gift be? It's time to play a round of how much.
So I had to deal with this Saturday because I had to go to a graduation party.
Okay, very interesting, Jerry. This game is called How Much Does Al's Gift Need to Be?
Right.
Now, let me lay out the parameters for you. As we are here in Northern New Jersey, which is a little different than South New Jersey. This is one of my best friend's kids. One of my best friend's kids graduating from Boston College.
I feel like I'm doing a trivia show, right? Like a game show.
Well, I want to lay it all out for you, Jerry.
Okay.
One of my best friend's kids. I am also
the godfather.
Mm-hmm.
This is college graduation or high school?
College graduation.
Okay.
Now, let me lay a couple more things out for you, Jerry, to see if this will influence your decision of how much that check needs to be for.
Okay.
We are going to a lunch on Saturday.
Is there a party?
It's at the restaurant, I guess.
Okay. That is the party. Okay.
Okay. What else do I have to add there? That might be it. All right, Jerry. So, godfather, best friend's son. Oh, I don't believe there are any college loans that the kid has to pay back. And I believe this kid...
It's really not of your concern,
well,
but okay.
I believe this kid also has a job waiting for him, Jerry, as
so
he
what?
Chose a major that actually earns a living. I'm just saying,
okay.
Jerry, this isn't a
hard-up.
I'm just saying, Jerry, he's not a hard-up kid. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying, Jerry? How much does the check from a very famous... person going to a party, a radio star, Jerry. How much is that check? I have a number in my head, which sounds ridiculous, that I feel like it probably has to be.
As the godfather, so it's interesting because
yeah.
I put it into chat, and the exact number in my head is the first one that comes up.
Oh, see, I put it into Grok the other day, and it gave me, as usual, a wide range.
It gives a range for sure.
And then Grok gave me a number to give.
But what I'm looking at is it has thoughtful and practical, memorable,
okay.
or godfather level.
Oh, no. There's a godfather level?
Yes.
Oh, boy. Yeah. All right, what do we got, Jerry? What first of all, what did you think?
$500.
Unfortunately, that's the number that was in my head also.
Yeah. Now, this like is lot. Godfather, depending upon what you're looking to do with the money, says $500 to $2,000 is acceptable.
Oh, my God. I was thinking if I gave $500, there'd be like a gasp in the room, like, oh, what a generous gift.
Now, I don't know that there'll be a gasp, but I think $500 is a very nice gift. The fact that you're the Godfather makes it, you know. My first thought was when you were saying college, you know, I'm thinking $350. And then when you said Godfather. And your best friend.
Yeah. Well, I have three best friends. He's one of them.
Right. So now for just friend level, it's saying $150 is very thoughtful and very practical. And that's probably about the right number. The problem is when you bring Godfather into it, it jacks the price way up.
What if I just gave him some godfatherly advice?
From Mario Puzo?
Yeah. It could have been a contender. Well, that's a different movie. That's a different Marlon Brando movie. Yeah. All right, so 500 is. I got to write a scratch a check out for 500.
I think so. That's your best friend's kid, godfather, and it's not high school, it's college.
Yeah.
Which does add to it. I think so, yeah.
I even asked my sister who's very practical.
Yeah.
I have a bougie sister. And I have a very practical sister.
Mm-hmm.
My very practical sister thought 500 was a number, but also told me, because she had a recent college graduate.
Right.
She said, most people gave $100.
Okay.
Tops.
Yeah. I believe that. It's expensive out there.
Mm.
You know, I don't.
Should I request my envelope be opened in front of everyone? I don't want to show up the grandparents, Jerry, or you know what I mean? What if the grandparents
actually,
aren't
I think you
500?
Do. You want to show up everybody.
I would like to do that.
So give her $5,000. You want the gas, but you'll get the gas.
Well, it's a boy. He's a man.
Give him $5,000.
Not doing $5,000. $500 sounds very reasonable.
It is. I mean, $500 is.
Everything's $500 now.
Well, no. For those parameters. You know, to me, honestly, I would even think for if this was just. Just an invite, just a friend. I think $250 is a very nice gift, quite frankly.
Hmm.
But when you're the godfather and it's your best friend,
yeah,
they're kind of.
What if I get into a fight with my friend a week before?
Well, make sure it's a check and you can cancel it.
No, I'm saying like, what if
a week before?
Yeah, and then I show
then
up, but I
Venmo or $50.
It's actually this Saturday.
Okay.
And I looked at the restaurant, BYO.
So what? Not as expensive.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, you pig. I hope he doesn't listen to this.
Oh, they don't ever. That's the best thing about my friends, Jerry. None of them listen to any of my radio/podcasts. Unfortunately, I do have people they work with that listen, and we'll get this back to them.
Probably.
But if you're one of those people, just let them know I'm going to be very generous.
Mm-hmm.
Very generous.
All right, well, good for you.
Okay.
So what else is on the docket for how much do you pay?
That was all.
I thought you had a few of them.
No. That was the only thing.
Okay.
You're having a good time. You're out drinking with the boys. Now it's time to pay the tab.
$11,352.47. Wait, what?
Well, there are court costs, attorney fees, higher insurance costs, damage to your car, DUI fines.
Oof.
Not to mention the damage to your social life. Plan a sober ride or pay the price. Drinking and driving costs more than your drinks. It could cost a life. Learn more at whatsthedamage.org. Brought to you by Virginia DMV.
The second thing I wanted to discuss with you, Jerry, is the internship program is underway here for the summer. And I just have to say this. This is it's a different time, right?
Yep, very much so.
It's a different generation. A different generation is supposed to behave differently than the previous generation. But right. You and I have talked around here about how, like, if you came in here, did you do an internship here or no? Okay, you did. Yep. I did internships at a very tiny, crappy radio station in Elizabeth, New Jersey.
Yep. Same one I worked at.
I was too afraid to come into New York City. Like, I should have really tried to get an internship at the Howard Stern Show, at the K-Rock, at WNEW. I was too afraid to come into New York. So, but just know also, when I started working here, I was already a veteran in the radio business. I was afraid. I did not want to get in Mike and the Mad Dog's way. I didn't want to get in the producer's way. And I was coming in as a morning show producer.
Yeah.
And I was still like not my place. The interns today, Jerry, they will just plop their stuff down.
Very comfortable.
Very comfortable. Iced coffee right on where I put my live reads. Scroll on their phones.
So it's going great. Yeah, see, that's the thing. I would never pull my phone out.
Me neither.
Even as a new employee, let alone an intern.
Yeah, like we didn't have phones back then. We were too old. We were too old, and we didn't have phones.
Yeah, but if I got a new job next week,
yeah,
I would never pull the phone out.
Yeah.
During work hours.
Yes.
Not a chance.
I know. I looked up that today during one of the breaks, and the intern was on his phone. Rami was on his phone. Boomer was on his phone. Gio was on his phone. And while I was feeling all high and mighty, my face was in the computer Twitter. So that was no different.
Yeah, it is different, though, because you're also looking for news.
Yeah.
And that's not quite the same thing.
I don't want breaking news to
right. Especially during a break, because if you miss it, then you don't get it to them when they come back out of the break.
Yeah.
So I don't classify that as the same thing. I just don't.
And I don't know. It's weird here because, you know, radio has pared down the amount of people that work on a show.
Big time.
You're out there by yourself. You're cutting up sound. I'm in there doing the calls and the show. Rami's running the board. Boomer and Gio are hosting. So we get interns in, and there's really no, probably the best thing they could do is help cut up sound, right?
Right. Someone's got to train them.
Right. And you don't have time to train them. We don't have time to train them in the morning.
I don't even have time. I don't even get enough of my stuff done.
It's almost like we would have to, like, the group of interns are coming in. They pay a part-timer a couple hours to teach them all how to do the editing.
Yeah, like a four-hour training session.
Yeah, four-hour training session. And then they come in and they help cut up sound. But them coming in and just sitting and staring at me all day, that's not going to work for me, Jerry. I like to eat my cashews. I like to eat my Lara bar with my coffee. I like to have my sunflower seeds. You know what I mean?
The good news is you only got 8 more weeks.
And I'm uncomfortable, like, with my little fingers eating my little cashews while there's someone staring at me.
Yeah.
I'm just eating cashews and
he's going
pumpkin
home.
Seeds.
Yeah, that Elduk's is weird, Dad.
Yeah, weird.
He is.
So what do the guys do? They really just sit there. Gotta be honest.
And Al eats nonstop and weighs 40 pounds.
He's somehow eating lots of nuts during the program.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a weird casualness.
It is. It's different.
It's that generation, though. It's not like these guys are doing anything different than any other intern would be doing.
There was one time, remember in a story we had the carts that looked like 8-track cassettes?
Yeah, it's where all the commercials.
Yeah, that's where, until we got computerized, that's where all the audio sound.
Oh, man. So you would have to have, like, Mike Breen had stacks of carts.
Yeah.
Wow.
100%. We recorded them from, what do you call it?
That must have taken hours in the morning of...
Of bulking carts.
Yeah, and just the way the recording process...
Well, everything was done. No, the recording was done. All the highlights were done the night before, and then there was a tape-op that came in at 2 a.m. so that when Mike Breen or Warner Wolf or Sid went on the air with Imus at 6:20, they sat down and they had 40 carts in front of them, and they could write out their how are they going to do it. They didn't have to cut anything. The cutting was done by 6 o'clock.
Yeah.
That's my biggest gripe now with here, is that the cutting starts at 6 o'clock with me. That's a problem.
Yeah.
But whatever. So as an intern, your biggest job was, especially after the Imus show was over, there would be so many carts of new sound, the old sports sound that, you know, didn't need to be saved. And your job would be to bulk them and erase them. They were like, you know, magnetic sounding, however it worked. And I would get in, there's 60 carts that are going to be bulked. There'd be some days I'm like, there's nothing else to do, especially an afternoon shift. I would just do one at a time. Go, it's like a little conveyor belt. Then I would turn it over and do it again.
And then do the sides.
Then I'd have to take the label off so that you could put a new label on. I'd walk over to the board where we had all the empty and I put it in. That's one. Then I'd go back over. Other people were doing 4 or 5 at a time. I'm like, I was trying to kill time because there was nothing to do. And I always felt like, you know me at this point, I can't sit home. I can't sit idle. So imagine me in a quote unquote like internship job where you're trying to impress and you want people to like you and you want to get hired, sitting in the corner by the coat rack because there's nothing to do felt very uncomfortable for me.
Yeah.
I would bulk carts one at a time just to kill time until something needed to be done.
Yeah.
But it's different.
It's different everywhere. It's like depending on, you know, when I was working at that really, when I was interning at that really small radio station, I watered the plants.
Never did that. I never did that.
I used to go get ham sandwiches.
Never had to do that either.
Tommy D, who was an afternoon guy. He liked the ham sandwich from the Woolworths downstairs.
Wow.
And he would just pretty much sit there and tell me how I should not get into this business.
I know. I understand. I mean, it was a small radio station. They were probably making $9 an hour.
Yeah, and they were guys who had big time jobs in New York, and now we're at the back end of their careers. And yeah, they were at the small radio station. Yeah. It'd be so funny because they'd be, and you know what? I would hang in there with that guy, and I must have learned something from him. Even him complaining and talking, you do learn. Like, okay. You do learn something. And he used to sometimes, he'd be like, oh, God, this song sucks. All this music sucks. And he'd go, Tommy D, WJDM 1530.
Yes.
And then he'd shut the mic off and go, this place sucks.
I believe it. I was in that station. So when I was there, they had turned to, they were leasing it to Spanish broadcasting.
Okay.
Except for nighttime and weekends. And that's when I would do the DJ.
It was paid programming.
Yes. And that's when Joe Beningo started doing his show on Wednesday nights or whatever it was. There was one day, though, they asked me to come in. Morning drive was still English. They still had, it went to Spanish, I think at noon, I believe. So I think it was 5 a.m. to 10 or sunup. It was a daylight station, if you remember.
Yes.
Sunup to 10 a.m. was like morning drive, news type of winds type of programming when I was there.
Yeah.
And then 10 to 12, they did music, and then it went Spanish noon to 6. So they one morning, they asked me to come in, and I really thought they were going to ask me to do the news. It wasn't. They needed someone just to go rip the copy off the AP computer feed thing and just run it in every 15 minutes. Like, that's why, that was my job. Like, every 15 minutes, rip it off, bring it in, rip it off. And in the meantime, the other 12 minutes, I'm sitting there doing nothing, just waiting. But the one thing that I do remember, even for a small station like that, that was on the way out, essentially, there was still an energy to the morning to where you had times you had a hit, scripts had to be written, you had to hit the right sounder, there were elements to the show, and there was a flow to it. And all these years I think back, like, that was a nothing station at that point. And yet they still, while they were all miserable, 100% they were miserable, there was still a feel and a flow to it that felt like real news radio. It was kind of cool in that regard.
Yeah.
But that was just the one day I was there doing that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a different world we're in now, Jerry.
Oh, it is.
Different world.
Sure is.
What do you think's on 1530 a.m. nowadays in New Jersey, WJDM?
I'm going to guess it's the same Spanish religious programming.
Yeah, they can't be playing oldies on there anymore.
No,
it's
no,
AM
no.
radio.
I think it's probably still leased radio. They also wound up getting an extended band, which I think was 1660, I think. And I think it was that religious programming. I haven't checked it in a long time, but I bet you it's the same thing. I'd be surprised if it wasn't. 1530 WJDM. That was in Elizabeth, right?
Yeah, Elizabeth, New Jersey.
Because then there's 1510 WGHT up in Pompton Plains, I believe, where Kevin Burkhart was an intern. That's where he started his radio career before giving it up and then going and doing the car stuff before getting back into it. And then Spitz found him. So that place, they was I hired or was an intern? I was an intern. And one day this lasted. Literally one day. It was a sports internship. So I was so excited. I'm like, this is great. I'm going to, you know, learn how to do sports reporting and things like that. So my first day, they're like, you're going to go cover. This is how it was explained to me. You're going to cover a high school baseball game. I'm like, this is awesome. I remember I got my little Marantz. I was all excited. So I show up. Who are you? I'm like, hi, I'm Jerry. I'm covering the game. Like, covering the game for who? I'm like, WGH. They go, no, you're our intern today. I'm like, yeah, no, I know. He goes, no. You're with us. I'm like, oh, okay. And the first thing he asked me to do was to run down to the 7-Eleven and buy him a jug of water. And I said, okay. And I went home. Went home. He was a pompous ass.
For being on a tiny radio station?
Oh, God. He was about to announce a high school baseball game on a little AM radio station that was only broadcast on like 4 square miles. And he's like, you're with us. And the first thing you're going to do is you're going to go down to the 7-Eleven. I need water. I can't get through this game without water. So he went to hand me $5. I'm like, nope, I got it. And I went home.
Should have said, should have said, if you needed water, why wouldn't you bring it with you?
Because he was waiting for the little intern to go get it for him. Hmm. And that was it. Never stepped foot in that building again.
Hmm.
That bothered me.
Yeah.
That bothered me.
And then
me
how did you get an internship at WFAN?
So the one I'm just referencing was an internship through Kinetic School of Broadcasting.
Hmm.
Years later, when I ended up at Jersey City State College, my advisor had a contact number, which was Eric Spitz at FAN. He laid out a plan for me. He wanted me to go to FAN in 97, in an interview in 96 for 97. Then in the summer, he wanted me to go to ESPN. And then he wanted my final one to be at NBC. But when I got hired at FAN, which is where I wanted to work, I never pursued anything else.
Yeah.
And I've been here ever since. That's how.
Makes sense.
Yeah. Worked out really well. And it was a real working internship.
Yes.
And we did not get paid. We got college credit for it. And it was awesome.
Yeah. That was the Eddie Scazzeri internship.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. That was a good, those were good.
They were good. They were good. Now he certainly, and not to his fault, you don't know until you actually are with somebody. He certainly hired a couple of bad ones over the years. But there were a lot of good ones, too. And I know there were even people they wanted to keep, but you didn't have jobs for them.
Right.
You know, it was really time and place. And for me, the time and place worked out.
I'm amazed, even still, in the Eddie Scazzeri career of internships, the amount of interns that ended up getting hired here, just like you said, like where were their available jobs? People were leaving. Like, it was weird that so many people that were interns became part-time, became full-time, and now you hear them on the radio.
Yeah. So
as hosts.
I mentioned timing. Two things for me. Number one, I was more mature. I wasn't 18 or 19. Remember, because of my weird college situation, I was 22 already when I interned here. Maybe even 23, actually. I've been 23. So I was older. I should have been out of college, let alone still having 2 years to go in it. So I wasn't a pompous ass 19-year-old. I was a little bit more mature. I was 23. Number two, I was going into, I did the February to June internship, February to May.
Mm.
There's always openings in the summer.
Yeah, right.
So the timing just worked out for me. And I think because A, I had experience already. B, I think I was mature. And C, I was always early for a shift. Spitz hired me in April, like before the internship ended. And he said, I know there's going to be stuff in the summer. We'd like to keep you. I was like, wow.
That's nice.
That's cool.
That is cool.
Yeah.
All right, Jerry, we have to get out of here because J.D. Vance is in town doing the View, and it's right where we park our cars.
Might be a problem.
And it might be a problem. So we'll see you tomorrow on the warm-up program.
So.
Sometimes it feels like the news is full of things that have never happened before. And that is not exactly true. In fact, it may have happened this very week, hundreds or thousands of years ago. I'm Sally Helm, host of the podcast History This Week from the History Channel. Trade embargoes? Thomas Jefferson tried them. Rent too high? We've been arguing about that for a while. Each episode is proof. The past isn't that far away. Listen to History This Week, available now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're having a good time. You're out drinking with the boys. Now it's time to pay the tab.
$11,352.47. Wait, what?
Well, there are court costs, attorney fees, higher insurance costs, damage to your car, DUI fines.
Oof.
Not to mention the damage to your social life. Plan a sober ride or pay the price. Drinking and driving costs more than your drinks. It could cost a life. Learn more at whatsthedamage.org. Brought to you by Virginia DMV.
Summer's here, the roads are packed, and accidents can happen in an instant. If you've been injured in a car accident, don't get stuck fighting the insurance companies alone. Fight back with one call to Azari Law. Call 888-828-HURT. That's 888-828-HURT. At Azari Law, we've proudly fought for the DMV community for over 15 years. I'm attorney Lauren Kalekas, born and raised right here in the DMV, and my team and I are ready to fight for you. Injured? Don't wait. Don't settle for less than you deserve. With offices in Maryland, D.C., and Virginia, Azari Law is standing by to help accident victims get the justice and compensation they deserve. This summer, protect yourself and your family by knowing who to call when life takes an unexpected turn. Call 888-828-HURT, 888-828-HURT, and let Azari Law fight for you. Follow us on social media at azari.law. That's AZARI.law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you looking for a podcast about pro football that doesn't put you to sleep with an avalanche of analytics or insult your fandom with brainless hot takes? Well, hi. I'm Dan Hanzus.
And I'm Mark Sessler.
Oh, hi, Mark. And we're the hosts of Heed the Call, the NFL podcast you've been waiting your whole life for.
Heed the Call covers every game, every storyline, everything that matters, and we do it all with a touch of mirth.
Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast wherever you get your podcasts.